I'm doing fine. Okay, the Honorable Mr. Neal will lead your hearing at this time, sir, so just hold on.
Okay.
All right, sir, could you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
My name's Derek Adrian Queen, last name spelled C-L-I-N-G. My ABC number is 170253.
Thank you, sir. We are bringing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this afternoon in reference to your community's waiting application. I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. We have the Honorable Michael Johnson, the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman. My name is David Neal, and I'll be the hearing lead. We'll also have Mr. Brandon Lee from the Department of Corrections, and he's also a resident of the board office today.
Okay.
So prior to serving, sir, you received a notification form advising you of this hearing. You remember that form, sir?
Yes, I received documents of for this form, or for this meeting for today, and I also got my warrant for arrest from my parole officer.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to inform you that I would like to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Do you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
No, I didn't hire an attorney.
Okay. So I'm just going to give Mr. Brady at this time. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you mean so affirm?
Yes, sir, I do.
I do. Do you swear you're going to be conducting two phases today? Phase one will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And phase two will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So in phase one, sir, we're going to do is make one allegation upon the warrant after a reading and ask if it's true or false.
Okay.
Allegation number one is violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision number three as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at B-Way located at 1302 West Becker Lane in Phoenix, Arizona. On about May 11, 2018, without prior approval of your assigned parole officer, you were about to know unless you were scheduled from supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
Yes, that's true, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir. So based on the admission of Mr. Crane, I'm going to find a new complaint as he violated the terms and conditions of the supervision, and then he may have asked for the backlash of the criminal ways toward company.
Second.
I agree.
With myself, second by Dr. Wright, agreed by Mr. Johnson, and moving house. Okay, so we're going to be in the phase two in a moment, but before we move, Mr. Brady's going to give some background information. So stay there on the phone, and I'll get right back with you.
Okay.
Can you hear Mr. Brady?
Mr. Clean was released from DOC on April 5th of 2018. He was arrested on June 26th of 2018 by Flagstaff PD for his only charges. He was returned to DOC on June 27th of 2018. He has a CCD on December 20th of 2018. It reflects 46 absconding days. Current conviction, 2014, aggravated DUI, 4 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2002, applied for law enforcement, 1 year, 2004, aggravated assault, 2 years, 6 months, 2004, aggravated assault, 2 years, 6 months, 2012, aggravated DUI, 2 years, 6 months. He has 4 terms at DOC. He has CUIR scores of 4-4, mental health scores of 3, substance abuse scores of 3. He has no gang affiliation. Prior to under supervision, 2003, released as an absolute discharge. 2006, TIS release. Arrested on a tech violation, revoked by the DOC. 2014, TIS release, completed 4 months. Disciplinary violations are moderate with drugs and violence noted. Other arrests. 2002, aggravated assault, Arizona felony conviction, probation. 2007, aggravated assault, Arizona felony conviction, probation. 2007, driving while intoxicated, Arizona guilty, other sanctions. You got a community risk score of a G5V6.
Thank you, sir. So can you just clean the room for a summary of your case supervision? So if residents you were approved to reside in legal assistance at 1841 West Jeremiah in Phoenix, Arizona, then on May 2nd, approved to reside at 1302 West Beverly in Phoenix, Arizona. That was your last known address. So why did you leave the area? Where did you go?
The after house that I left recently, I was kind of going through a lot of depression, and I was around a lot of people that were just using a lot of drugs, and I'm a former addict, and I've been sober for a while, and I just didn't want to be around that. I told my parole officer, look, hey, is there a way that I can change my address? I only signed up to go to the halfway house because I was going to get out on my TR, but they bumped up my score and they took my TR. But I have an address that I can go to that I can reside and stay sober. That's my mother's address. She works at the Children's Phoenix Hospital. And she lives just a couple blocks from the Children's Hospital. And I told him that one other thing, if I was able to leave and see my daughter, because I haven't seen my daughter for 4 years since I've been in, and we stay in contact, and he just said, no, there's nothing I can do. That's all out of my jurisdiction. If I were to transfer you anywhere else, that would be out of my jurisdiction. And I just kind of felt like there was really no hope. I was kind of just falling into a depressed mood, and I didn't want to relapse and get into drugs, and next you know, I just catch a charge or anything like that. So I just told him, look, hey, I was doing bad, and I just, you know, I'm falling into depression. I need some help. And he said, there's really nothing you can do. Then he's just like, just finish the program. And from there, I'm just like, I left and I went about it wrong. I know I did. So I went to Paige and I seen my daughter and just kind of just fell back into that fatherhood again. And he told me to come back and I told him like, yeah, just give me a minute. I'll turn myself in. So the next month on the 26th, I ended up hitchhiking from Page, Arizona to Flagstaff, Arizona. I was going to catch a Greyhound to Phoenix 7 o'clock that morning to go see my parole officer, but it was kind of getting cold in Flagstaff, so I just walked over to the jail and told them, look, hey, I got a warrant for my arrest, and they just told me that the only way that I can turn myself in was through a probation officer, a parole officer, a sheriff, or a police department. So I ended up walking down the street, and I called the Flagstaff police and told them that, hey, look, I have a warrant for violation of parole, and I just gave them my whereabouts at Crossroads. So it took them almost 45 minutes to pick me up. They finally picked me up and transferred me to Flagstaff Jail. I did about a day in Flagstaff Jail, and they shipped me out to Winslow, and from Winslow they shipped me out to here.
Okay. So
I know I left, I know it was wrong for me to leave, but I'm just saying if you guys give me this chance, that if I can go to my approved address to my mom's, I mean, I can do frequently check-ins. I don't know how the system works. This is my first time actually talking to a parole board. But I kind of thought I was going to talk to my parole officer. I didn't know I hadn't talked to a board or anything like that. But I just want to apologize for wasting guys' time. And I mean, I didn't catch a charge or anything, and I did turn myself in. And as she was reading my charges, it made me think of, like, all my wrongs and like how I used to be a violent person back when I was younger. And it was just, but my time from now, like, I'm not that person as I was back when I was in my teens. I have a daughter. I changed a lot for her. I got off the drugs because of her. And the only thing I suffer from is anxiety and depression. And sometimes it just, you know, I take medication for that. And that's the reason why I'm in DOC for my aggravated DUI right now, is because of my prescribed medication. I left my doctor's office and ended up getting pulled over.
Yeah. Okay. So it says here that you were working at specialty
services.
Yes. How long have you worked there?
I worked there for about a month, and after that, well, I'm still employed with them. It's just right now I'm on temporary leave. Okay. Because I told them that there's a chance that I'm going to go back to DOC, and so I just picked up my last check and that's now on the page.
Okay.
But I'm still employed with them. My foreman is with it.
When you were released, you were assigned a task under the code pink, and it looks like you only had two. One was negative, and the next one was the 16th, which you missed, which apparently was about the time you were scouting. So, do you have a bond with drug or alcohol?
You know, I've been recovered for a long time. As I said, when I fall into depression, before I used to jump to drugs, and when I was at the halfway house, I kept seeing people that are using drugs, and all the same people in the apartment complex that was staying there, we would go to AA and NA together, but it just, you know, they lied about things like, oh, I've been sober this time, but just the night before I seen them using drugs.
Okay, and, how long have you been sober, sir?
Huh?
How long have you been sober?
Well, since 2012, because I got page two. That was the last time I had anything to use, was early 2012.
What about alcohol?
Alcohol, I drank, and I told my parole officer that I drank, and I kept it honest with him.
Okay, so are you an alcoholic, sir, or do you drink so often?
No, I'm actually, I'm not an alcoholic, I'm more of a recovered drug addict. That's my substance choices.
So you're not relying on alcohol, you just do it for the enjoyment anyway?
I'm not gonna lie, there's times I do like to drink a beer.
Well, okay, I mean, that's what I mean. You're not an alcoholic, you're hung up on drugs. And
yeah,
you're so
definitely
from the drugs, but you still drink a little bit of alcohol. And then, but there's a lot of people that are drug addicts and alcoholics at the same time. And that's what I'm. So if you're thinking you're not an alcoholic, you just like that beer once in a while.
Yeah, but it's very rarely.
That's the whole point I'm getting at. You're not an alcoholic. You just occasionally have a drink or two. Okay.
Yeah, that's whenever before I was on probation or parole or even arrested, there's times I would go out to eat with my daughter and my wife, and I would have a occasional beer every once in a while when we go out to eat.
Okay, how old is your daughter?
My daughter, she is 9 right now and she'll be 10 on November 1st.
Oh, well, that's good.
And I left when she was 4, so.
Let me see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time. Okay. We have a question from the board. Sir, we will be able to meet with you hearing the board meeting and discuss and make a determination in a couple minutes. But before we do that, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. That is anything else that you think might be important to our decision. We ask that you don't repeat all the information we've already got out of the room because we have our hearing we have to get to this afternoon, so we have time management issues. Okay?
Okay. So I got a final statement right now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm just like to apologize for wasting you guys' time. I'm sorry that I got violated. If you guys are to give me a second chance, that we can bump up my status on parole. I could check in frequently, take more VUA so that you guys know that I'm maintaining sober. And if it's possible, I would like to pull to my mother's place. I believe she tried to contact you guys Friday or Monday, but her residency and just her job title working at Phoenix Children's Hospital, that I know that with her, I get a lot of support, and I do maintain sobriety when I'm around her. And I would just like, maybe if there's a possibility that I'm able to keep in contact with my daughter, taking some trips every now and then, the days that I do have off, heading back up to Page, Arizona, where my daughter resides. And again, if you guys could give me a second chance that if you guys bump up my status to where I check in once a week or twice a month, or I don't know how that works, but I'm willing to do that to prove that you guys that I'm not that person that was back in the early 2000 or my teens.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, sir. The board will be going to discussion when we talk amongst ourselves and make a determination, but you may think we're talking to you, but we won't be, but we ask you to stay on the phone. Just be silent, you can hear the whole discussion and our vote, and once we make a determination, I'll be back to you, okay?
Okay.
Now, the board is now in discussion. Well, Mr. Clay seems to have his drug problem under control. The issues were astounding, and I want to commend him for his efforts with these drugs, and if he's, it's a violation of parole, of the release of him drinking alcohol, but at least he's not going out there getting drunk or getting more aggravated than he was at this time. But with the scout time, and it just kind of doesn't make sense to me to jeopardize the whole thing over a placement issue, but over a period of time, I'm sure that the appeal can work something out. But at this time, I think Mr. Clay would be better served to finish his time. He'll be out in about 4 months. Then we'll have to be responsible with DOC, and he can continue on his hopefully straight and narrow path, and then we'll be back into the prison system anytime the rest of his life. But I'm going to listen to discussion from any of my fellow board members. Okay, so based on all the information in order 201-71577, the testimony of Mr. Clay, the information from Mr. Brady and the OC. I'm moving to the Supervision Division of Mr. Clay, as he was aware of violated terms and conditions of supervision and have lapsed or without lapse in a criminal race or company.
Second.
Agree?
Agree.
Motion on the second one, Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
We have Dr. Wright, Mr. Rittenhouse. Okay, Mr. Clay, the Board of Voters of Revoked or Community Supervision at this time, however, you are scheduled to be released on or about December 20th, 2018, which is only 4 months away. At that time, unless there's something where you don't see the rules as far as probation or something, you'll be free of the Department of Corrections. Then you can go to page and take care of your daughter and hopefully stay sober.
Okay.
Have an annual dinner if you want without having to worry about something over your days. But we do wish that, or we hope that you can be successful and that you can have a good life ahead of you, but you don't have to get back in front of us for any reason, okay?
So I am going to remain in prison until my time expires?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and I know my CO3 here told me that I have a release date of October 3rd.
Okay, the paperwork we have says December 20th, 2018. Now, that's all we can go on. If you think there's a discrepancy, have your CO3 check with time comp and give final computation of your end date. And it may be not that far. That's what we're given and that's what we have to work on, okay?
Okay, so I do have to serve the 115% of my time as a for the violation of the...
We don't know percentages or time amounts or whatever. That's what time comp does. And all we do is the information they give us, okay? But if you have scale time, there is, while you're gone that time, your time stops. And it starts over once you've been incarcerated. Now, exactly how you compute the hours,
But yeah, I could.
Okay, give the CO3 and ask them to get a verification from time comp on your that in date, and hopefully it'll be October 3rd instead of several places. Be out too much earlier and be able to get me tonight with your daughter over there. Okay?
Okay.
All right, so this is your hearing. And would you please put the seal on the bottom of them?
Yeah.